This is the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray, episode 379.
You're listening to the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray. Tune in every week for practical advice that will help you build your online audience. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about how you can grow your Instagram following by 1,000 subscribers in just 30 days and how I recently did that. But before we get to the main part of the show, I just wanted to remind you about my 2020 social media diary and planner. If you haven't heard about it, it's an A4 desk diary that you can use to plan out your content for the coming year. So it's got key dates, it's got awareness days, it's got planning tools so you can plan out your annual content, your quarterly, your weekly, and your daily content. And anyone who buys the diary also gets a monthly newsletter from me with additional dates. So dates we wouldn't have necessarily known about the diary when it goes to press. So things like new books, new TV shows, new films. So you will never run out of ideas again. And if you feel like you need support and accountability to actually stick to your plan during 2020, then do come and join me in the Media Diary Owners Club. So if you join the club, you will also get a masterclass, which will show you how to set out your content plan for the coming year. That's an online masterclass. You'll get 4 quarterly group coaching calls across the year. You'll also get an additional weekly newsletter that's delivered either by email or Facebook Messenger, whatever suits you the best, with some ideas for the following week, using some of the dates from the diary, a digital version of the diary, and lots of other resources to help you stay on track in 2020. So if that sounds of interest, then if you head over to janetmurray.co.uk/2020media diary, so that's janetmurray.co.uk/2020media diary, then you can find out all about it. And now on with the main part of the show. So in this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to grow your Instagram following by 1,000 followers in just 30 days. And before we get stuck into the strategy, I do just want to reassure you that this is perfectly possible for you. So until recently, I'd say that Instagram was my number 4 social media platform. So I had a much bigger following on Facebook, on Twitter, and particularly actually on LinkedIn. And while I always got really good engagement on Instagram, so everything I posted on my grid got good engagement, lots of comments, lots of people talking to me, I felt a little bit frustrated because my follower base wasn't growing. And although it's not all about the followers, as I'm always saying, it's about the actual sales that you make. Obviously, the bigger following that you have of your ideal customers or clients, the easier it generally is to make sales because you've got more relevant people following you. So everything changed for me at the end of August. So that's 2019, if you're listening in the future. So I had Chris Taylor, an Instagram expert, on the podcast. It was episode 362. And it was a really, really popular episode. I have had so much feedback from people saying what a useful episode and how it really changed the game for them on Instagram, just in terms of understanding how they could grow. And actually, that episode had quite a profound effect on me as well. It made me realize that actually there was so much more that I could be doing to grow on Instagram. And I really believe I'm keeping up to date with all the sort of latest data on social media. And I really feel like if I was going to make a prediction for 2020 about the social media platform that you should focus on, for me, it would be Instagram. I really feel that is the place where you can make the most growth and you can convert that growth into sales. I really do believe that Instagram is going to be the platform to be active on in 2020. So that episode was really kind of influential on me, and it really encouraged me to go off and say, okay, I know I'm busy. I'm teaching social media engagement cross-platform. I don't have time to spend hours on each platform, same as you, but I really feel there is more I could be doing to grow here. And I feel there's just so much more I could be achieving on this platform. So I set to work. I'm going to share with you the 3 key strategies that have been pivotal in terms of me adding 1,000 subscribers. And I want to be really honest with you here. And, you know, it may well be that you're thinking, well, this is okay for Janet because she was starting from a point of having, I think when I started, I had about 6,500 followers, which is not insignificant. But actually, all of the stuff I've done, you can do too. I'm not going to share anything with you that you can't do. So I think it's totally possible that you could have the same type of growth But the key thing is, are you willing to put in the time and the work? Because I have put a lot of time and work into it. And I hope you find it encouraging to hear me share what I've been doing. I think often when we're looking out for advice on social media growth, I think this is one of the things that I've found frustrating over the last few years is that, you know, you always get these podcast episodes. I remember listening to one recently with a very big name influencer, and she was talking about how to add 1,000 followers onto her Instagram. Well, she already had like hundreds and hundreds of thousands of followers anyway. And I remember listening to this episode and just thinking, well, like, what did she share? She basically said, I posted more photos of myself. Well, I could post more photos of myself for the next month. I'm not going to grow by 1,000 just by posting more photos of myself. That strategy is just not going to work for me. But the things that I'm going to share with you today, I think they are going to work and help you to have real growth, because they're rooted in hard work, they're rooted in research, they're rooted in data, and I think they're totally achievable for somebody with a small following. So I'm going to take you through these three things that I've been doing. I do think they're totally achievable for you, and I'm hoping that you'll find it reassuring to get advice from somebody who's just done it, who has a modest following compared to somebody who's got hundreds and hundreds of thousands of followers, because that's generally where the advice comes from. And sometimes I don't think that's always the most realistic advice. Okay, so the number one thing that I did was I changed up my content, which sounds really obvious. So I started out by just having a look at the hashtags that my ideal customers and clients were using. And if you want to know more about hashtags, do have a listen to episode 378, because I covered hashtags in quite a lot of detail on that episode. So I started looking at my ideal customers and clients, started looking at the kind of hashtags that they were engaging with on Instagram, and also the kind of content that they were engaging with. And unsurprisingly, it wasn't the kind of content that I was posting regularly. So I was posting content. I was posting quite a lot of photos. So it might be me at events. It might be me sharing some kind of product or resource that I was working on. And they were generally quite engaging posts, because I know how to get people to engage with me on social media. So I was asking questions. I was giving clear call to action. So there was actually quite a lot of conversation going on around my photos. I wasn't making it about me, but I could see that when I looked at the kind of content that my ideal customers and clients were really engaging with, and we're talking about viral content that's getting thousands and thousands of likes and thousands of comments, it was nothing like what I was posting. So I think that's really important. I think it's really important when you're looking to grow on a platform is to take a really honest look at what you're doing and go, okay, so the people who are doing this really well, what are they doing and what's the gap? And I could see there was a massive gap between what I was doing on my grid. I was actually using my stories really well, actually. I was getting lots of engagement on my Instagram stories, but on the grid, there was a big gap between what the really good people in my space were doing and what I was doing. And I noticed that there was a certain type of content that my ideal customers and clients were really engaging with. It was clearly really resonating with them. And the type of content it was these kind of inspirational quotes, but not hackneyed old inspirational quotes that you've heard a million times, like you are enough or love yourself or that kind of thing. It was much more thoughtful quotes, often original, and most of them were quite inspiring about entrepreneurship, and actually in particular, female entrepreneurship. So a lot of stuff around motivation, about goal setting, about kind of sticking with it, about the challenge of building a business, about getting people to pay you on time, on getting people to treat you right, on kind of managing your emotions and your behaviors, a lot of stuff which is more around the mindset of being a female entrepreneur. And I could see really clearly that that kind of content was doing really well. So I sat down and I thought about some of the messages that I wanted to share about that. I know I have a lot of strong opinions on things, and that works really well for me when it comes to getting engagement across different platforms, always has done. I'm not afraid to be polarizing. I'm not afraid to say the things that other people aren't saying. So that's always worked really well for me. But I started to think about how that could translate for me over on Instagram. And I looked at the people who were doing it really well and how I could take my personality and how I could take my kind of authentic self and then almost kind of mold that into this content that was working really successfully. So it wasn't about copying. That's always a bad idea. It was just about looking, this stuff's really working. So how could I adapt it to my personality and my authentic self and kind of make it my own? So I started to think about some of the messages that I have around female entrepreneurship and building a business. and I started to experiment. And if you have a look at my feeds, if you go to @JanMurrayUK, you will actually see the change. You'll probably see about 18 or so different posts where I'm clearly experimenting. So I'm trying out different messages. I'm trying out different types of inspirational or motivational quotes and seeing what lands, basically. And I would really recommend that if you're looking to add 1,000 followers in 30 days, that actually you spend 30 days first just experimenting, because that's exactly what I did. All through September, I was experimenting. I was trying different types of content, testing to see what really landed. And I really believe that you need to do this too. If you want to grow on any platform, in fact, you need to just spend some time testing, trying out different types of content, seeing what kind of reaction you get, seeing what does well, seeing what bombs, and some things will bomb, and that's all normal. And so that's what I really did in September. So I had a few hits, and this is what you're looking out for. So when you're testing out content, and this is true on any platform, when you're trying to grow on any platform, you're looking for some hits. So you're looking for something that kind of goes viral in your world. So your world might be getting like 100 likes or something like that. That's all absolutely fine. But what noticeably gets much more engagement than what you've been doing before? So I had a few hits with, so I posted something, I posted a quote, which was, you are not responsible for your client's success. And I talked about the fact that actually, even though as a coach, or even though as somebody that's kind of teaching marketing and business online, you know, you feel like you're responsible, but actually ultimately it comes down to the person and you're working with. And if they don't do the work, then you can't take responsibility for that, because you've shown up, you've been there when you said you would, you've provided the content or whatever it is that you do. And ultimately you can't take the blame for that. And I think that really resonated with people, because something that I noticed, which I'll talk more about in a second, is that the content that was really landing with my followers was reassuring content. So anything that makes people feel like, I'm okay, actually, I'm doing all right at this, I'm not a complete disaster. I've noticed, and I will talk more about this, that that kind of content really seems to land with my audience. That might be different for you. It might be that you test out different content and reassuring content doesn't work for your audience. This is why this testing phase is so important. But that's something that I really noticed. So the second thing, my second hit was, if your content is not getting engagement, don't blame the algorithm. It's because your content is boring. Now, this is a message that I've actually been sharing in my Facebook ads. I've been sharing it in my email marketing. I've been sharing it on my social media content like for years. I've been talking about this for years. Like, it's so easy to blame the algorithm and when you're not getting engagement, but actually it's always your fault. It's always because you are not creating engaging enough content. And you can, even if the algorithm changes and things get a bit tougher for a while, there is always more that you can do with your content and more you can actively do to get engagement on your content. So that got lots of engagement. I also did a post which was, people don't always value what they get for free. Again, this is a message that I've been sharing across all of my networks. I'm sure I've talked about it on the podcast before. So these are not new messages. These are not, it's not me coming up with new things that I haven't thought of or said before. So it's just about me taking those and testing them out. And I noticed they were, interestingly, these were all kind of quite polarizing views, and they all instantly got much more engagement. There was another one. I also tested out sort of more personal content as well. So I did one on, tell your daughter she looks pretty. And a lot of my ideas come from stories and things that have happened to me. And I had a client quite a few years back who was a very lovely lady who was a psychologist, and she'd kind of done a lot of work with children. And I remember her saying to me that you shouldn't tell your daughter that she looks pretty. And I tell my daughter she looks pretty all the time. And it was a kind of polarizing view. Like, she heard her reasons why she didn't think that was a good thing. I have my reasons why I think actually it's important to say those things to your daughter. It doesn't mean that she's going to be vain or anything, that her worth lies in how she looks. So that was a good one, because it was polarizing and it sparked a really interesting conversation on my feed. And actually, that's the kind of thing I probably would have been posting anyway, but I wouldn't have thought of posting it on Instagram. So they were my early hits, and that started to give me an idea. Okay, well, these are the kind of things clearly that people like. I need to do more of this. Along the way, there were some things that didn't work so well, and please, can I reassure you, that is normal and that has to be done. Like, in order to understand what works really well, you have to put some things that are going to bomb out there. That's just how it is. And I've been creating content and getting better at it for years and years, but I still put out things that bomb, and you just have to kind of move on and go, okay, that didn't work. Why didn't it work? Let me try something different instead. So let me reassure you that that is all normal. So September was really about me finding my feet and experimenting. And October, if you look at my feed at @JanMurrayUK, you will probably start to see the difference. It's when I really started to nail it. And my biggest hit was with a post that said, a year from now, you're going to be proud that you didn't give up. We're going to be so proud that you didn't give up. That had something like 8 times the usual engagement that I would normally get. It got 700 likes, which is loads more than I would normally get. And that's quite a lot, I think, for a small account. And crucially, it also got picked up by an account called Freelancing Females. And it was shared on this account, which has a couple of 100,000 followers. So this is the really key thing about creating engaging content, because I think this has really been the game changer for me. When you really focus on just creating really high quality content, which is basically what I've done over the last few months, is like, how can I create really engaging content that really resonates with people? Of course, what people do is they share. So my post getting picked up by Freelancing Females, which is a much bigger account than mine, getting shared on there, I was literally getting like hundreds of people following me. That I realized something had happened because I picked up my phone and suddenly I had 100 new followers. And that was because this big account had picked up a good piece of content that they knew would engage their audience as well and shared it. But the other thing I've noticed is because I'm sharing much more engaging content, other people are sharing my content. So every time I pick up my phone, typically I've got maybe 10 or 12 people who are sharing my quotes, my content from my page in their stories. A lot more people sharing my content on their grid. So really focusing on creating the best possible content if you can. And this is a message I've been sharing for years. If you've been listening to the podcast for some time, you'll have heard me say this before. But when you're focused on the numbers and just growing numbers, that's when you tend not to grow. When you're just focused on creating really, really good content, like how can I be the best content creator in my space? How can I create really shareable content, like content that makes people feel something, content that really resonates with people, really gives some kind of emotional reaction? Then your following will just grow. The numbers will just grow. But if you're kind of starting just by thinking with the numbers and that's all you're focused on, then you won't get that growth. It really is about focusing on creating really high quality content. So getting loads more shares, particularly in stories, but this big share that I had from this account called Freelancing Females, that really did make a big difference for me, and particularly on that post. The other thing that I started to look at as I got more experienced and started to see what was working is I started to look at how I could use different formats. So I started just doing these kind of basic quotes. So just kind of plain backgrounds with quotes. I got my designer Tracy to come up with a almost like a kind of style guide for me. So we have our hex codes, we have our codes for our colours that we use in my branding. We have our fonts that we use. So I got her to set up in Canva for me. So Canva is, if you haven't used it before, it's a free design tool. Actually, we have a paid version that we use, the kind of upgraded premium version of it, but you can get a completely free version of it. So she set me up with some templates that I could use. She set me up almost like a style sheet with all of the fonts that we use and the colours. So I started off by just creating these kind of really simple quote cards. I was mixing up the fonts, I was mixing up the colours, trying to make it look aesthetically pleasing, I should say. Aesthetically, it's quite a hard word to say. And then as I got more confident, as I started to see what kind of content was resonating, I've started to experiment with different formats. So if you look on my feed, you'll see I've started trying to use pie charts and graphs and kind of more involved. I've been doing things where I have like two columns down the side of my post with almost like a kind of for and against, or this is what people think, this is how it really is. So as I've got more confident, I've started to experiment with different types of layout and format. And it's really interesting that actually I've noticed that this on my account in particular, but you will need to test this out on your own account, that actually the straight quotes which don't have kind of fancy layout on them, they're the ones that do tend to do best in terms of engagement. But actually, in terms of sharing, the ones that look really nice and the nice pie charts or the nice diagrams or whatever, they tend to get shared more. So it's just really worth experimenting. But it's been really nice, and I've really actually enjoyed that creative process of trying different things out. So where did I get all of my ideas from? Well, I've spent a lot of time looking at other people's content. And actually, most of those ideas that I've shared with you, those hits, they're actually other people's ideas. So I've maybe seen somebody talking about something and thinking, yeah, I really care about that opinion too, but maybe I would put it like this, or maybe I would say it like that. So where it's been my take on a topic that somebody else is talking about, I haven't credited them. But in some cases, and I think this is right and proper, that I've actually tagged the person in. One thing that's quite an interesting, and it's quite a talking point, actually. I was looking at Tyler McCall's Instagram account the other day. Now, I had Tyler on the show in episode 353, talking about how to grow your audience through Instagram stories. And I noticed he was talking on his feed the other day about how to credit other people. So if you do see a really nice post or a quote that you want to reuse, like what's the kind of ethical way to do that? Now, he says that you should just literally take somebody else's post and you should just post that on your feed and you should credit them in the first line so it's clear straight away that it's their quote. I actually disagree with him a little bit because I think that Instagram is a visual platform. And certainly for me and my brand, it's important that the images and the colors and the fonts are consistent. So I might see a really good piece of content over on Tyler's feed, a really great quote. But if I'm just to regram it, and there are apps and tools that you can use where you can, you know, quite sort of legitimately take somebody's post and then repost it on your own account, and that's really clear that that's what you're doing, then it's going to stick out like a sore thumb on my feed and it's going to look horrible. And I will talk in just a second about why, you know, that's not the end of the world if your Instagram account looks horrible. But for me, I think a lot of my followers and my ideal customers and clients, they really value the consistency. They like nice looking visuals. And if I was suddenly just to kind of show up on my account and just share something that really looked really ugly and off brand and off kilter, I don't think that would go well. So my take on that is if you are using somebody else's quote, obviously be really clear that it is their quote. So make sure, and I've tried to do that in the first sentence and say, you know, this, I love this quote from this person, or I was really inspired when I read this quote. And I think people are generally happy because you're sending them over to their account and people will go and have a look at their account and they will very likely get new followers from you doing that. So I would say don't be afraid to either be inspired by other people's content. But if you are directly lifting a quote or you are directly taking an idea, I mean, I got an idea from an account called, she's called at Molly Ho Studio. I would really recommend that you follow her. She's got a really nice account. I will put a link to her account in the show notes. And I started doing these kind of almost like these sort of circular diagrams. And I spotted them on her account and thought, oh, that's a really nice idea. But actually, I've spotted them on lots of other people's accounts as well. So I'm pretty sure that she didn't come up with the idea. And I took an idea, a concept that she had, and I made it my own. So I actually just said this post was inspired by Molly Ho Studio because I hadn't copied it. I'd taken her kind of idea, her concept, and put it into my own, had my own sort of take on it. But it was very much openly inspired by what she'd done. I think that that is ethical. I think it's fair. I imagine there might be other people out there who might think differently to me. But I think if your audience is the kind of audience that really does value a consistent aesthetic feel on your account and suddenly you just put something that's so off-brand in terms of colours and fonts and whatever, then that's not going to do you any favours. And I'm really happy if anybody takes any of my quotes or content, as long as they tag me in and other people come and have a look at my account as a result, I'm not going to be bothered about that at all. But obviously, if you are just going to take somebody's post and repost it, then obviously you do need to credit it. But I think it's definitely worth talking about that. And I think there's nothing wrong with being inspired and looking at what other people are doing. There are literally no new ideas in the world. I think there's nothing that hasn't been said or no idea that hasn't been tried out. So I think as long as you credit other people, it does make the job so much easier. So I've spent a lot of time over the last few months just looking at Pinterest, just looking on Instagram, just like searching through and saying, and for me, actually looking at the posts that have got loads, like thousands and thousands of likes and thousands of comments, what is it about that quote? What is it about that sentiment? What is it about that layout that has made that post go viral? And I've spent a lot of time, I do it when I'm in the hairdressers, actually, when I'm getting my hair blow dried, I just sit there, I get my phone and I just research. I just look on Pinterest. I look on Instagram at different hashtags and I just get my inspiration. You know, when I'm waiting for the kettle to boil or whatever, I just stand there and I use that time as research time. And I really would suggest that you do that too. So I just want to touch on the aesthetic thing for a moment, actually. So I did get my designer, Tracy, to create me. So we have certain colours that we use in my branding. So I've got all the hex codes for that. I got her to create a sort of look for my visuals and Instagram so I can keep it consistent so I can create them myself and I'm not reliant on her. There has been the odd one that I've got her to create for me, but I've pretty much created all of that content myself. And we will talk about time in just a second. However, there are some accounts. So one account I would suggest that you have a look at is Sam Barefoot. So I am Sam Barefoot. She's grown up a really decent following on Instagram. She's an Instagram expert. I met her in person actually for the first time at an event I was speaking at last month. A really nice lady. And she has a really engaged Instagram account. It's quite sweary and it's not for everybody. It's quite polarizing. Like some people, it might not be your cup of tea. Go and have a look at it and see what you think. She doesn't have a sort of particular aesthetic, but she's got her account has got a real strong brand, a real identity. And for people who identify with her and her values, I don't think they're probably going to care that much that she hasn't got like consistent colors going through it or fonts or whatever. And she's just posting like engaging content that her followers actually really like. And Chris Taylor actually talked about that on our podcast interview, which was episode 362. If you haven't listened to it, do go and have a listen. He talked about that. He kind of laughed and said, you know, my account isn't the prettiest account that you'll ever see, but that's fine. My followers aren't looking for that. So don't get hung up about this. If you feel like you don't have design flair or you don't feel like you want to spend time creating beautiful images in Canva or whatever, you don't actually have to. Like, spend some time looking at accounts that have got really big followings but haven't got that kind of consistent aesthetic running through and don't look all beautiful and lovely. There are plenty of them out there, so there is no need to do that. For me, it feels important because I have quite a strong visual brand. I sell this beautiful looking media diary. I have a lot of like really nicely branded stuff. So if I was suddenly just on my Instagram account to not care about this stuff, it would jar for my brand, but it may well be that it isn't an issue for you. So do what's right for you. All of this stuff is about doing what's right for you and your brand and for your ideal customers and clients. So that's the content side. And you'll notice I've spent most of the time talking about upping my game on my content, about researching content, seeing what my ideal customers and clients are engaging with. That for me has been the game changer. So the second thing that I've done is I've just posted more often. So I have posted in October, I posted every single day. I use an app on my phone, which is called When to Post. I don't know whether it's how accurate it is. Yeah, it's called When to Post and I'll link to it in the show notes. But that tells me the optimum time to post. I picked it up from, I can't remember where I picked it up, but I've been following that in terms of the exact time to post in the morning and the evening. So for me, the best times to post are generally, but it changes every day, 7:15 in the morning, 7:30 in the morning and 9:15 or 9:30 in the evening, but it can change. 4:30 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon, so it can change. And sometimes it will tell me it's only okay to post once a day or that kind of thing. But actually in the last week or so, I've upped it to twice a day. I wanted to experiment and see what happened. If I posted twice a day, nothing dreadful has happened. In fact, my engagement and my growth has rocketed. And interestingly, I was listening to a podcast with Natalie, the founder of Boss Babe recently. And she was saying, if you're posting photographs, then more than maybe once or twice a day could be a bit much. But actually, if you're posting the kind of content that I'm posting, you can actually get away with up to four times a day. So I'm going to have a look and see whether that's something that I can try. I may well try it for a week and see how it goes. And with all of this stuff, it is just about trying stuff. If I go up to four times a day and I start losing followers or people start to get bored or message me and say they don't like it, then obviously I need to change things. But I'm certainly going to give that a try because for me, it sort of makes logical sense because not everybody sees everything that you post in your feed. And the more, as long as it's high quality content, as long as you're not putting out rubbish content, I think I'm getting a handle now on what high quality engaging content means for me and for my followers. And I feel quite confident that I could do that four times a day, at least for a week. Then I think as long as it's good quality content, then why not give it a try and why not see what happens? Natalie makes the point actually that, I mean, this was something that I took on with my podcast when I first started, is that I started off podcasting once a week and then I realized that if I podcasted twice a week, if I put out an episode twice a week, I was going to get double the amount of downloads and that was going to help me grow quicker. It was going to mean that I was going to rise up the iTunes charts and more people were going to hear about my podcast. It made sense. Obviously, it's got to make sense. I've now dropped down to one podcast episode a week because it was a bit much for me doing two a week. And that's worked well for me this year, although it did affect there's no doubt about it, it has affected my rankings in iTunes. But I think I just got to the stage in my business where I felt I could kind of get away with it. I didn't need to do it anymore. With the Instagram thing, you may well be thinking at this stage, well, you know, Janet, I can't find the time to post once or twice today. I think you've got to ask yourself the question, how important is this to you? I think it's amazing. I posted something on Instagram yesterday saying that there were just over 50 days left until the end of the year. And what could you achieve in 50 days? And I challenged my followers to make a commitment to do one thing that they said they were going to do in 2020, like just one thing, and really smash that goal by the end of the year. 50 hours. Could you find an extra hour a day? Could you get up an hour earlier? Could you go to bed an hour later? Could you just not watch that TV program that you don't need to watch? Or could you not waste time scrolling through Facebook in the evening or whatever it is that you do? We all waste time. All of us waste time. You waste time. I waste time. I feel quite confident that I could find another hour in my day if I have to, because even though I'm quite a productive person, I waste time. 50 hours, just imagine what you could achieve in 50 hours. If you gave this 50 hours until the end of the year, what could you achieve? I think you could achieve a lot in that time, and it wouldn't actually impact on you that much to find that extra hour a day. So I would say I have been putting in about an extra hour a day. I've been tending to do it in the evenings because that's when I'm rubbish at writing or creating content in the evenings. And what else would I be doing? I'd probably be like watching telly or cleaning up or whatever. So why not work on my Instagram in the evenings as well? So I tend to do it then. I've been creating the content myself because I quite enjoy doing it. And it's important for me at this testing stage to, you know, to kind of be close to it. But it could be something that I could outsource or get help with later on. Certainly could do that. But I think this is totally possible that you can find the time to do this. I've also been conscious of the fact that if I'm going to post more on my grid every day, I need to show up more in my stories. So I've made this commitment to get on stories and actually talk to camera every day as well. So every morning I've been just switching my camera on and just talking to my camera about usually to do with the topic that I'm talking about on my grid. So yesterday, for example, I'd posted about what could you do in 50 hours by the end of the year. And I talked about that on my stories and I directed people to the post, which is a good tip as well. Actually, every time you post something new on your grid, make sure you post it about it in your stories as well. And I asked people to DM me and tell me what their goal was. And quite a few people DM'd me and told me what their goal was for the end of the year. So you can actually increase the interaction on your stories. You can actually use the two in tandem together as well to increase your engagement. And finally, my final strategy, my final tactic is hashtags. So again, if you want to know more about hashtags and using them on Instagram too, and actually across all platforms, have a listen to episode 378. But I basically followed Chris Taylor's hashtag strategy, which I do explain in quite a lot of detail in that episode. So basically, I started out by taking Chris's advice to do the following. So, and this kind of makes total sense if you think about it in terms of how things work with search engines. So if you've done any SEO, if you've got a blog or a podcast or a YouTube, and you ever sat down and thought about how to get that blog, podcast, or that YouTube video up onto the first page of Google, it makes sense that if you're using search terms that loads and loads of people are searching for, it's going to be less likely. It's going to be more competition, basically. It's going to be more people searching for that term. So the likelihood of your piece of content rising to the top is going to be smaller and smaller. So I always explain that as the difference between if I wrote a blog post on how to write a press release, that's a very wide search term. If I write a blog post on how to write a press release for your small business, that immediately makes it more niche. There's going to be less people searching for that very specific term. And it's actually the same with hashtags. So what Chris explained on the episode was that a mistake that lots of people make with their Instagram is to use massive, big hashtags. So hashtags that have like millions of posts on them already. And if you only have a few thousand followers or a few hundred followers or no followers, then it's going to be virtually impossible for your content. Doesn't matter how good it is, it's going to be virtually impossible for your post to rise to the top of that hashtag. Now, if you haven't had a look at this before, if you are looking at Instagram on your phone, you'll see, and if you look at specific hashtags, you can follow specific hashtags, that on the left-hand side, it will give you the top posts in that particular hashtag. And on the right, it will give you the recent posts. So when people are looking and searching hashtags, they'll be looking at the most recent posts and they'll also be looking at the most popular. So Chris explains in that episode that if you can get your posts to be the most popular in a hashtag, they'll rise to the top. They'll be in the top nine and they'll be the ones that people will see when they're searching a hashtag, which is obviously really important. So in order to do that, Chris recommends that you start off by using really, really small hashtags. So ones that have no more than about 5,000 posts on them. Now, when I first started out, I was mainly using those. You get 30 hashtags on an Instagram grid post. So I was mainly using these like 0 to 5,000, these really tiny hashtags. And at first, my posts were not getting anywhere near the top. But the more I posted and the better I got with my content, my post started to rise in the hashtag. And it actually was only a week or two before I started seeing my post in the top of those hashtags. So I started off by using mainly hashtags with 0 to 5,000 posts on them. I'd have a few that were 5,000 to 500K. And then I would have a tiny amount that were, I think, 500 to a million. So like big ones. And Chris explained that if you want your post to go viral, then you need to just have a handful of those. So Chris advises that you have, if you have less than 10,000 followers on your account, you have mostly 500 to 5K hashtags. That's what you use. Then you have some 5,000 to 100K. So you might have a few of those. Then you also might have a few 100 to 500K and then maybe just one or two 500K to a million. Now, I started off by using mainly 5 to 1,000K. And what I've found is that I'm now topping, whenever I use those hashtags, I get to the top of those really quickly. So I'm now starting to emerge at the top of 100 to 500K hashtags as well. And I've even seen some of mine appear in the top ones, in the 500 to a million, which has been amazing. So be patient with it. But actually, I've managed to make quite a lot of big strides in a small amount of time with that. And I think you can do that too, if you're focused on it as well. One other tip that Chris gave on that podcast episode was, before you post, is to spend 15 minutes engaging on the hashtags that you're going to use on your post, which I think is a good tip. So I've been doing a bit of that as well. And in terms of finding hashtags, I know there are apps out there, but I actually still look for mine manually. So I still go and look at accounts of my ideal customers or clients. I see what they're using. I see what they're engaging with. And I have like lists of ideal hashtags and I'm mixing them up. It's really important not to cut and paste them, because you can get flagged up as spam if you're doing that. But I'm mixing them up on different posts. And Chris explains it's really important. And I do go into this in a lot more detail in episode 378. It's really important that the hashtags actually match what you're talking about in the post. So after I've recorded this podcast episode, I'm going to post something on Instagram, which is about posting live videos. So if I was to use a load of hashtags that were to do with podcasting or something like that, then that's going to flag up, or could possibly flag up to Instagram, that I'm spamming because I'm using hashtags that are completely irrelevant to the topic that I'm talking about. So my job after I've recorded this podcast is to go and find some very specific but quite small and niche video hashtags so that I can help that particular post to get found. I hope this has been helpful. That's been my three main things that I've been doing. I did say actually that I was going to talk to you about the types of content I found that really worked well on my account. And I'm not sure if I mentioned it, but this is what's coming out to me. So polarizing content, so content that divides people. So I posted something recently about why I don't believe in the notion of the ideal client avatar. And that got a lot of engagement, I think, because it's polarizing. I said I didn't believe in it. And a lot of people would disagree with me on that. So that did really well. Reassuring content, that's been a biggie for me. So reassuring people that they're doing okay. So I've done posts around, it's better to have 100 followers who actually buy from you than having thousands who don't. That reassures people that they're doing okay, they don't need to worry. And I think I've found that's been a real sweet spot for me. Reassuring content, you're doing okay, you don't need to worry about this, you're doing fine, you're making progress at the right rate. That kind of thing has really done really well for me. And the other type of content is inspiring content. So I think my best performing post has been, a year from now, you're going to be so glad that you didn't give up. So keep going, keep working hard, keep moving. That kind of content is working really well for me. So polarizing, reassuring, inspiring. Now, as with all of these things that might not necessarily work for you, you've got to test. You've got to get on your account and test and see what your followers really find engaging. So I hope that this has been useful for you. I'd love you to come over and find me on Instagram at JanMurrayUK and say hello and let me know what you thought of this episode. And let me know how you're getting on with actually putting some of these tactics into action. Let me know any questions that you've got. When this episode goes live, it will be in my Instagram stories and I will be asking you to engage and to ask me questions or whatever. But I do love hearing from you, and Instagram is definitely the place to connect with me at JanMurrayUK. So since I recorded this podcast episode, Instagram have announced that they're going to be removing public likes from Instagram posts. So you will no longer be able to see how many likes other posts have got. They have been talking about it for a while. We knew it was probably coming, but it's actually only been confirmed in the last few days. So I just wanted to jump on and add an update to this episode. So what does that mean for you? Well, obviously, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how this is going to go. But my prediction is this, that as long as you can still see which are the top performing posts in the specific hashtags that you're targeting, you should still be able to see which are the viral posts, because those posts obviously will rise to the top of the hashtags. And they will also, crucially, and this has always been the most important thing for me,
they'll be the ones that will have the most comments and engagement on them. So I think that even though you won't be able to see the likes, you'll still be able to spot which are the viral posts. And you may remember earlier in the episode, I talked about how spotting viral posts could be really good when it comes to your own content creation, because it gives you a sense of what kind of content is really engaging your ideal customers or clients. But I think you'll still be able to spot that content, because that will be the content that will rise to the top of the hashtags. And I talked about how you can see which posts are performing well in your target hashtags. And crucially, those pieces of content will generally have the most comments on them. So if they've gone viral, if they've really touched a nerve with people, they will generally have lots of comments. So I think you'll still be able to tell which are the viral posts. But as I say, I don't know how it's going to go. As with all of this stuff, you need to keep your finger on the pulse. You need to keep checking and seeing what's going on with different platforms. Things are changing all the time, but I don't think that this will be a big problem. So that's my thoughts. Let's see how it goes.
If you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray, do check out her Build Your Online Audience program over at buildyouronlineaudience.com. The Build Your Online Audience program is the essential resource for anyone looking to build an engaged online following. If you want to attract more leads online so you can stop wondering where your next sale is coming from, or if you want to launch a dream project like an online course, book, or podcast, the Build Your Online Audience program has everything you need to grow an engaged online following. Head over to buildyouronlineaudience.com to find out more.